Turning this morning to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, and I read verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And for the sake of context, I read verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And my subject is the mother of all prophecies. Equally, we could call this message the mother of all promises. This is where it all began. This is where it all started. The mother of all prophecies. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is the verse that explains why our world is what it is today. All the pains, all the aches, all the tragedies, the horrors, it started from here. And this verse is given to us in a very tragic chapter. It has been called actually the most tragic chapter of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. But don't be misled. The tragedy comes with grace. There is disgrace in the chapter, great disgrace, but God in his mercy calls us with grace. There is curse in the chapter, but there is mercy also in the chapter. So just a few words of introduction, really, before we explain the verse. The verse, believe me, it's so rich. One sermon could never do justice to it. But I will keep it simple. And remember, this is the first gospel sermon. The first gospel sermon in the Bible. And we have in it the charter of salvation. The charter of salvation. And the first gospel sermon was just given after the first wedding sermon. There was a wedding first. Wonderful wedding. And now you have that gospel sermon. But it is also, as I said, the first prophecy and the first promise. The first promise prophecy about Calvary. Do you know that this verse, 4,000 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is already telling you that Christ will come, the Messiah will come, the Redeemer will come, the mighty God will become a man. It's already here. That's why it's the first prophecy in the Bible. And it's all about Calvary. Calvary is where Jesus Christ died. That hill, the hill upon Jesus Christ died, is called Calvary. It is a Latin word, actually, Calvary. But you see, this is also the first declaration of cosmic war. There will be a universal war. Why do we have wars today? Oh, please don't be puzzled. Don't be perplexed. This is the beginning, the root, the source, the fountain. This is where everything has been triggered. The first declaration of cosmic war, the battle of all battles. You know, in families, you have wars. In nations, you have wars. In society, you have wars. Where do they come from? From the battle of all battles. This is the conflict of ages. It will never stop until Jesus Christ comes back again. An infernal battle. And the incarnation, you know what we call incarnation? I hope everyone knows that. The coming of God in a human body. The word incarnation means in the flesh, in the flesh, in the body, human body. God came through Jesus Christ in a human body. So here it is. Already here, you find the prophecy of incarnation. But not just incarnation, you also find the prophecy about crucifixion. That Jesus Christ will be bruised in the heel, and he will bruise Satan in the head. It's here. And I remind you again, 4,000 years before it happened. And even if you go further, you can say 10,000 years before it happened. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection is here. Ascension of Jesus Christ going up to his Father, ruling, sitting on the throne, being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's here. And also the rulership of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ. But guess what? The final judgment. Do you know that one day you and me, look at us, we are so proud, full of ourselves. We think we will never end up life. Life will go on and on. One day you and me shall stand before God to be judged for all the things we have done in this body. It's all here. The final judgment is here. And also, Genesis 3:15 tells us that there are two hostile camps. There are two kingdoms. There are two kinds of people. There are two worlds. There are two seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. But also, Genesis 3:15 is telling us that there are two destinations, two final destinations. Or what are the two final destinations? Heaven or hell? But also, Genesis 3:15 tells us that there are two conditions. You are either saved or unsaved. Only two conditions. But you are either in amity with God or you are in enmity with God. Only two conditions. People fabricate many, many conditions, status, but there are only two kinds of people, my dear friends, in this world. We stratify, we classify, we categorize, but for God, there are only two kinds of people. Oh, again, the verse is so rich. Nobody in the world has been prophesied like the Lord Jesus Christ. You can study Buddha, you can study Confucius, you can study Muhammad if you want. No, none of them has been prophesied. If they have been prophesied, maybe you find one or two prophecies. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, there are a minimum. I'm telling you the minimum, not the maximum. At least 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And if you are curious enough, we can give you the 300 references. 300, not two, not three, not 10. All about one person. But look again, Genesis 3:15, it is Christ speaking to us about himself. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to our human race. He inspired these words. And in Genesis 3:15, I think this is marvelous to me. It is as if Christ is saying to Satan, Satan, we shall meet again. Do you know where Christ is going to meet with Satan again? When he was born in this world, when he was tempted in the wilderness, you remember how Satan said to him, if thou art the Son of God, transform or change these stones into what? Into bread. It is, as I said, Christ is saying to Satan, we shall meet again. But the ultimate meeting of Jesus Christ and Satan happened where? At the cross of Calvary. Do you see that? It's all here. It's not an invention of man. It's not the invention of a book. It's God himself who is speaking. Oh, my dear friends, I want to show you this morning. Look at the text again. We won't go any further except in Genesis 3:15 there, because all is there for your soul. And I plead with you, my dear friend, I plead with you as an ordinary preacher. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, please listen carefully as we remonstrate with your soul. This is a matter of life and death. Look at the characters. Look at the actors in Genesis chapter 3:15. And I will do my best. In my mind, I have six headings to help you to understand. If you are taking notes, you can jot those things for yourself and rehearse them to teach your soul, to inculcate those things and implant them for the benefit of you having fellowship with the living God. But look at the first one, the first heading there in Genesis 3:15. Let me read it for you again. God is speaking, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. If you read verse 14, and the Lord God said. So number one, the speaker. Who is speaking? God himself is speaking. He is the preacher. He is the judge. God himself. You see it there. He took matters in hand and he promised right from the beginning. And my brothers and sisters, this is another miracle. God promised to send the Savior, the Redeemer, the seed of the woman before Adam and Eve were cursed. The cursing upon Adam and Eve came later, verse 16 and so on. But in verse 15, God promised already a blessing upon man before sending curse upon man. So Adam and Eve are here present. God was the preacher, and the sermon took place in the Garden of Eden, where man will be soon driven out of the garden. You remember? I must tell you this. It is God who speaks. And it is God who declared the war. The word there, enmity, the Hebrew word is hatred. Hatred. There will be hatred between God and Satan. There will be hatred between the church and the world. There will be hatred between non-believers and believers. And there will be hatred between Satan and believers and the church of Jesus Christ. So it's all again here for us. And there will be that war always until the final victory of Jesus Christ against Satan on the cross of Calvary. That will always be there over the serpent. And the serpent will bite dust. The serpent will be defeated, vanquished, and conquered totally. Final blow was given to Satan at the cross of Calvary. And God here speaks words of hope. So that's number one. Who is speaking? God is speaking. Look at number two. Number two. Now, to whom he is speaking? The serpent. The serpent. You know, my dear friends, you hear people, they joke about Satan. Oh, Satan, the way they draw Satan. I'm sure you have seen a kind of monster with two horns. You know, that's good for cartoon. It's good for comics. But Satan is real. You know how he is called in the Bible? The roaring lion. He's called the adversary. He is called the accuser of the brethren. He is called the liar. I often say, even when he breathes, he's lying. His very breath is lying. And he's called in John chapter 8, the murderer, the murderer. He's the only father who doesn't wish any good to his children. He's wicked. He's called the wicked one. He's called the deceiver. We could multiply you. There is a good 30 to 40 names given to Satan. The old dragon. The dragon with his fire burning. So all those names are given to Satan. But here he is called the serpent. But believe me, this is not just a snake. It's more than a snake. It is Satan. He is real. He is a real being. He's subtle. He's shrewd. He's very cunning. You read it in chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it. Now the serpent was more subtle, cunning. The Hebrew there is the word cunning, shrewd, malicious. And it's not always negative, the word subtle there. It means he's very intelligent. Very intelligent, vicious. That's what Satan is here. Crafty, powerful, pernicious, insidious. Satan is insidious. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, never think Satan is just an influence. There are some people who is just a mere power, a kind of influence. No, Satan is not just a mere power. He's a power. He's mighty, but God is almighty. That's the difference. So you don't play, you know, Bible tells us, you don't put fire in your bosom and think that you will not burn. People play with Satan. They play with fire in their lives. You see that every day. So God speaks to Satan. And the Satan here, you see, God speaks to him in verse 15. And God says to him, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thee and the woman. God is speaking directly to Satan. And it's interesting that Satan, the serpent here, is the one who injected the poison, the venom into all the human race. Parents, I'm sure you know that. You have never taught your children to lie. How do they learn to lie? How do they learn to steal from your purse? How do they learn to go and open the drawers in the bedroom? How do they learn to know where you have hidden those sweets and candies? Where do they learn that? The venom, the poison has been injected into them. That is why Bible says we come out from the womb speaking lies. Even the child in his mother's womb, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. Of course, he didn't sin in action, but he's already because of his nature. It's all here, my dear friends. That's why I want just to dwell on this. If you don't think you are a sinner, I think you are the most miserable person in the world. Just look around you. Oh, it's again, he injected that in the whole human race. And he is only, the aim of Satan, as I said, is the only father who doesn't love his children. His aim is to make your life miserable. Maybe you heard me saying this. Satan invites you, come, I love you, come to kill you. That's what he does. Satan will show you the joy of sin, but he doesn't show you the end of sin. He tricks us. He's a tricker, a manipulator. Oh, my dear friends, he's the mastermind of evil. Satan, you know, Satan knew very well that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Do you know that? It's from Genesis 3:15 here. Satan knew very well that the Savior will come one day into this world. He didn't know when, but he knew that he will come. But I must proceed. Time is flying. Number three. Number one, God is speaking. He's the speaker. Number two, he's speaking to the serpent. But look at number three now. Why is he speaking to the serpent about? Why is he speaking to Adam and Eve about? He's speaking to them about sin. Sin. And that's really, we have leagued, we have cooperated with Satan against God. You and me, we have done that. And we have leagued against God and in leaguing with Satan. Sin brought shame and guilt. Look at it in chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. When you read the end of chapter 2, you see that we read in the end of chapter 2, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Do you see that? Look at now chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Now they are naked. They saw they are naked. Now they saw that they are exposed and they are ashamed. They are guilty and they try to hide up and cover up. And God had to call them in verse 9, Adam, where art thou? You see, it's all there in verse 6 and 7, how they find out and they cover themselves with fig leaves and made themselves aprons. That's what they did. That's what sin brings. Sin brings shame. Sin brings guilt in our lives. And from now on, sin will be all over men, women, the soil, the nature, everything. Do you know we read in Romans chapter 8 that even nature, you know, today we hear about all this global warming, the Green Party and so on. Even nature is groaning. Nature is weeping. The trees, the animals, the fauna, the flora, they are all crying. Please, Jesus Christ, come back. Do you know that? Even nature is groaning. Nature wants to be redeemed because our sin has brought the pollution even upon nature. Sometimes you hear, we pay even the ULEZ, you know, in different zones in London, when you enter, you have to pay a fee. You know, I wish instead of telling us to try to have pure air, non-polluted air, I wish they speak more to us about having non-polluted hearts and non-polluted minds. To pay a fee not to have a polluted mind, not to pay a fee not to have a polluted heart. They will never decree that. They will never send you a fee, a bill in order to pay for that. Actually, all governments are even encouraging people, oh, pollute your mind, sin as you want, go for it, you love it, be happy. That's what the world is all about. That's why preachers are flattering people. Oh, please, preacher, tell us what we want to hear. We only want to be happy today. That's not the gospel. The gospel first shows our misery before we receive mercy. So the sin is here declared. Sin is the source of all our frustrations. And from now on, man is going to have pain in sustaining life. There is no easy job. I know some young people say, oh, I want an easy job. I want an easy work. Every work now you do, you will sweat because of sin. So to sustain your own life became painful. Women, to give birth became painful. Why? Because of sin. And I told you in a recent sermon, from what I heard, I have never experienced it, but I heard that the most painful pain in the world is to give birth. Ask mothers. The most painful pain. So it's all started because of sin. Please, my dear friends, remember you cannot hide your sins. Bible says your sin will find you out. It will find you out. You may hide it, you may hide it, but very soon it will be exposed. If people don't expose it, God will expose it. It's going all around. Every day you hear about those things. Oh, please don't trivialize your sin. It is real. And sin affects all relationships. You know, sometimes you see, even in church, best friends soon become enemies. Why divorce? Why? Because of sin. Otherwise, in the beginning, God said, man shall cleave to his wife. He shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. Where did it come from, my dear friends? Sin. I wish I have more words to describe you the hideousness, you know, the heinousness of sin. You want to know how sin is evil? Think about the price. Who came to purchase, to pay? God himself. An angel couldn't do it. Animals couldn't do it. Only God could do it. Death entered with sin and all its horrors. And the snake bite was fatal to us. Everything is cursed now. Our problem is that we are not in enmity with Satan. We should be at enmity with Satan. But Satan became our friend. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ sets us free. Unless Jesus Christ comes into your life. He said in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son of God sets you free, free you are indeed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we belong to Satan unless we find the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews in John chapter 8 again, they said to Christ, we are the children of Abraham. Christ said to them, no, you are the children of Satan. Number four, I want to tell you just a few things now about the seed. Look at the seed of the woman. So number one, who is speaking? God. Number two, to whom he is speaking to? The serpent. What is he speaking about? Sin. And number four now, who is the person who is in charge of our sins? The seed of the woman. Do you know that this is the name given in all the Bible and in the whole world to only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody in the Bible is given the name the seed of the woman. In the Bible, the seed is always the seed of man. Don't you see the miracle here? Women do not have a seed. The seed is from the man. And this is the prophecy that God is coming into this world in a human body without the contribution, without the intervention of a human, without the intervention of a man. That is why the New Testament, how does the New Testament opens? Tell me. The New Testament opens with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. And when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, 17, there is no relationship between Joseph and Jesus. Biological relationship. He's the son of Mary with no human father. That's the depth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is special, the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. The Messiah born of a woman of the Spirit of God. And beginning here, progressively and repeatedly, with constant narrowing to show up who the seed is going to be. And in the New Testament, we find that the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of the woman here is Jesus Christ. His incarnation is being prophesied. Number five, because of time's sake. Number five, look at now the Savior. The speaker, the serpent, the sin, the seed of the woman, and fifthly now, the Savior. Look at it there in verse 15 again. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And now look, the Savior there. It normally it's not an indefinite article there. It is a definite. It's not it, but he. He, singular, masculine, he. The pronoun there, he. And at the appointed time, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He's the seed of the woman. And time after time, scheme after scheme, Satan tried to interrupt. You know that? Satan tried to interrupt the line of the seed of the woman coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you don't mind me detaining you, just to explain a little bit before we close. In the book of Genesis, very soon you will hear that the seed of the woman will come from the family of Abraham. Very soon you will find that the seed of the woman will come from the tribe of Judah in Genesis chapter 49. Very soon in the Bible, you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, will come from the house of David, from the tribe of Judah, the 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. And very soon in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you will find that he will be called Emmanuel, and he will be born of a virgin. And very soon in Micah chapter 5, you will find that he will be born in the city of Bethlehem. Do you see already? These are all prophecies. All prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Satan tried to interrupt the line. I can tell you, you remember the battle between Cain and Abel? You remember the battle, the war between Jacob and whom? Esau. And you remember in the book of Esther, oh, I'm sure you know about that man, Haman or Haman. What did he do? He made a plot that all Jews will be eliminated, all of them. So if that has happened, what will happen? There will be no seed of the woman. He wouldn't come. And later that man, he was taken, and the gallows he built up in order to put Mordecai on the gallows, that he was hanged on those gallows. And when you read the prophet Jeremiah, there was no seed again. It seems everyone has left except one man, only one man. All that, it was Satan trying to interrupt and eliminate the seed, the line of the seed of the woman. I wish I have time. Our time is really over. But you can see all these details are given to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And the most violent attack that Satan has perpetrated against Jesus Christ, it's not just that at when he came. Remember Herod, what did he do? He said, kill all the babies. Why did he want to kill all the babies? Then there will be no seed of the woman. And then at the cross of Calvary, I put, just bear with me, I speak as a normal person. When Christ was put on the cross, it is as if Satan was very happy. He was exuberant. Wow, victory to me. But he didn't know actually on that cross, his head will be bruised. His head will be bruised. And that happened there at the cross of Calvary, when the fatal blow was given to him on his head, because Christ came to destroy the works of the devil and to conquer death, to conquer the king of terrors. And by his wounds we are healed. Satan thought the fiasco will happen, but no fiasco happened. It was full victory. Oh, my dear friends, let me close. Number six, look at it again. Number six, my dear friends, the first Adam, you know, that's how Adam is called, means dust. The first Adam brought a curse upon us, but the second Adam brought blessing upon us. He removed the curse. You know, the first Adam in the garden, when they sinned, what did he do? He blamed, he accused his wife. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5, verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. You see the difference between the two? One, he accused his wife, but Jesus Christ loved and saved his bride. A gulf between the two. He is the savior of all who will bear, who will believe in him. Interestingly, just to mention this, interestingly, the hill upon which Jesus Christ was crucified, do you know the name of that hill? Golgotha. It is also called the skull. What is the skull? Is the skull on your feet, on your head? Your head. Even where he was crucified, the name there, the Satan head will be bruised there. And Christ did it. He did it. My dear friend, in closing, where are you this morning? Remember the gavel of grace. The gavel of grace was extended not to Satan, but to man. In verse 21, Genesis 3, verse 21, God clothed them. He put clothes upon them, righteousness. And he told them, you cannot be saved by fig leaves. You can only be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But do you see something in verse 20? Adam believed in God. Adam believed in God. He named his wife Eve. Do you know the meaning of the name Eve? The mother of all who have spiritual life. That's the Hebrew meaning of the name Eve. Not just the mother of all living, but in Hebrew it means the mother of all who have spiritual life. So in order for you to have spiritual life, you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as the Savior. He came to redeem us. He's the seed of the woman, and he is our Savior. That seed could be implanted in your soul to bring many fruit into your life. Man's way is to hide. Man's way is to cover up. But God's way is to wash, to cleanse, to forgive, to pardon, to give a new heart. Oh, come to Jesus Christ. He's the seed of the woman. He's the savior of the world. He died on the cross of Calvary. If you repent from your sins and believe in him today, you will be a child of God. Let's pray.